Reactor online. Sensors online. Weapons online. All systems nominal.
Hello, everyone. This is Carrie with Unicorn Company. Before we go into anything today, that's my cat. Before we go into anything today, I wanted to talk about why Unicorn Company is here in light of recent events. I'm not going to go into everything. Needless to say, yesterday was the Day of Trans Remembrance, and something happened in Colorado just recently. Unicorn Company is here for everyone that is not, I don't know how to put it. If you don't feel like you're one of the normies, if you are strange, odd, queer, trans, you're welcome here. This is a place without judgment, without hate, without any kind of without any want or need to belittle other people. So I just want to let everybody out there know who is like me or who is just different from everyone else that all of my listeners, all of you, you are wonderful people. You are amazing. You are fucking unicorns. And don't let anybody try to tell you otherwise. Now, with that being said, let's actually get into the episode. Because I wrote a whole crap load of stuff the other day. And yep, it's on actual paper. So, I won't be scrolling back and forth, getting lost, or anything like that. And I have no clue how long this is going to run. To warn you, I addressed some stuff that was asked of me in the last episode. After the last episode. For some reason, I did some math in my notes. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I do hope that you, I hope you enjoy this episode, and to all my unicorns, you're fucking awesome. Now let's go. All right. So the last episode, since the last episode, there have been a few things that have happened involving Battletech, and in particular Alpha Strike, which I wish to cover. The first of these is that we have dates for the Alpha Strike box set with sales from Catalyst directly on November 25th. 4 freaking days, guys. Why am I not saying fucking? I said fucking earlier. Fuck. Okay. Fortress, who isn't a sponsor, but I swear should be as many times as I've talked about them, is taking pre-orders for the box set as we speak. Also, Catalyst has released Rec Guide Ilclan Volume Number 26. I think it's like a year, and then they had two. So hopefully we have more of those coming, because there's some stuff that I'm going to have to like shoehorn in here, but we'll get to that. I haven't had a chance to look over this one, but I plan on reviewing it as soon as I can. Also in the news is a revision of the Alpha Strike points costing, and many of the cards on the master unit list have had changes. Most of the changes are minimal. The biggest is the change to the costing of Jump Strong, bringing the cost of those units more in line with the rest of the units, as everything that had Jump Strong were pretty much getting a free target movement modifier upgrade for this. So this is where I was going to be like, oh, news is done, but it's not. Something else that came out, Anthony Scroggins released pictures of the of actual plastic models of the box set stuff. And this includes, oh, thank goodness, I already have it up. This includes the Hanson's Rough Rider Battle Lance. Where the heck? Okay. The Northwind Highlander's Command Lance. The Eridani Light Horse Hunter Lance. And the Kellhounds Striker Lance. Now, personally, out of all these, I am most interested in, I believe it's the Rough Riders. They have the Penetrator? Yes. I'm most interested in the Rough Riders. One, because of the Penetrator, and two, from what I understand, there should be a Banshee in there. Or is it in a different one? One of these has a Banshee. I can't remember which one. The one with the Banshee has up oh, it's the Eridani Light Horse. The one with the Banshee has a pilot card for a non-binary pilot. So we are getting more representation in the setting. And to all the grognards who get mad about that, who cares? Like, seriously, why do you care? It's not like it affects you. I doubt you even use the pilot cards. You're probably all playing in 3025 with 4 or 5 pilots and taking all day. Anyway, now that the news is done, let's get into the stuff because I'm just kind of, yeah. All right. So with all the news and everything done, and in the last episode, we talked about the tournament, so this is more like an extension of the last episode, so this might be like a bonus. November is going to be a double-up month because I also have been looking. We're going to be looking at the list itself, my thought process behind it. And I'm not doing this as some kind of ego boost, but I'm doing this because of two reasons. The first is that I have been asked quite a few times what my thought process was going into the design of my list. Also, one of my patrons wants to learn to play Alpha Strike. And since I know she listens, this will give her an idea of what I think when I build a list. So, first, you sort of have the pitch. All right. The pitch, it's what comes out first in the process. Usually it's something gimmicky. Like this year I started off by planning on doing an Oops All Mad Cats list that featured at least one variant of each of the various Mad Cats that exist. It had two standard Mad Cats. One was a W, one was a TC, and the rest was all like it was a Mad Cat 4, Mad Cat 3, a Mad Cat 2, and some elementals. After a few play tests, I decided to look at something more competitive. The Mad Cat W would stay. It is a monster, and I went from Clan Protectorate, and I want to say, yeah, I've play tested a lot, but I want to say it was like a couple weeks before the tournament. I was like, oh, you know what? Let me actually do this. It was right before the cutoff for getting your list reviewed. Ow. But I went from the Clan Protector, who has a very limited arsenal, to mercenaries, who seem to have access to all but the most cutting edge of equipment. I still wanted some kind of theme, in this case, a Unicorn Company play on the Red Corsair in memory of Susie. So I went with a list built around a Beamer and picked the most potent one available, the C3 variant. If the C2 was available, I totally would have taken it if I was allowed to take. Anyway, actually, it wouldn't have fit because faction limited. Anyway, no, but this if the C2 was available, I would have taken that, but I took the C3. I also snagged the Warhammer 2C11, giving me two tanks. After that, I'm looking for skirmishers. The Mad Cat W, with its speed of 12 and 7 damage at short and medium, it's a shoo-in for that role. For a partner, I chose a Black Hawk KU Prime, partially because of nostalgia for the design and partly because it's a decent low tonnage heavy. It's pretty good for its weight. It's pretty durable. It's more durable than a standard Black Hawk. And, so part of me was looking at. Yeah. So I went with that. Finally, I needed some high-speed assets. For this, I went with a hybrid approach. Now, most people automatically gravitate to the Dasher. I decided instead to go with a pair of Spiders and a pair of heavy hover APCs. Give me one second. Somehow, while recording, did I close the recorder? Oh my God, I think I closed it. No, I didn't. Okay, give me one second. Alrighty. So I had a splinter in my finger somehow, and that was bugging me. Shoot. So anyway, I was looking for some high-speed assets. Everybody usually goes to the Dasher. I decided to go instead with a pair of spiders, or not spiders, tarantulas, and a pair of heavy hover APCs. The APCs are able to carry a full squad of Tortoise battle armor with Marauder battle armor on the outside. This would allow the APCs to drop off units that had roughly the equivalent damage of an assault mech, 8 between them, 2 on turn 1 on an objective, and I could do this with 2 of them. While the much more hard to hit tarantulas would try to secure an objective each, giving my opponent a hard choice to make between them, or they would all just rush one, or depending on the situation. The target movement modifier for mechs, because they are jumping, to get harder to kill with the amount of dice, as the amount of dice to throw at them gets lower due to attrition, or the combat battle armor that does a combined 16 damage out to medium range that is usually sitting in the center of the table, giving it a full 360 degree. Basically, it's a little fire base right in the middle of the table. It's here's a thing to deal with. Or you can deal with the tarantulas, which are hopping around and very hard to hit. So my opponent makes up their mind about what they're doing. My heavier equipment moves up to support and lay heavy fire, which, if you look at the units I've selected, you'll notice that they all tend to not have a long range value. The reason for this is that, in general, on a 4x4 table, the majority of your engagement will take place at the medium to short range brackets. This is even more likely when you play your list aggressively, which you have to do, and focus on the missions, which involve objectives. The other thing about damage is a preference for high damage output units. This is because units with a high damage output take the best advantage of rolling dice for an attack and seem to work better than attempting to spread damage over a number of smaller units, where, yes, you will be presenting more targets, but generally, for the same damage output, you will pay more per point of damage. All around, this list depends on high damage, speed, and redundancy, with a couple high armor strength units in there to throw a wrench in the works. So I hope this breakdown gives you an idea of why I chose what I chose, and also helps you in the future for your Alpha Strike list building. Of course, if you apply this to the Wolfnet 350 format, it won't work because of the 350-200 split system. In more conventional formats, though, I do hope that it is useful for you. And to be fair, Wolfnet, you'd have to basically what you'd have to do with Wolfnet is build a 200-point list, and then have 150 points to slot in for certain scenarios. It's weird. I don't like that format. Just play with the whole 350. It's not going to kill anybody, and it gets done pretty quick. I mean, hell, the more experienced your players are, the quicker the game goes. You're done in like all my games were done short except for two. Two of my games ran the time. Everything else was either 30 or 45 minutes done. Done early. And it's because the more experienced the players, the quicker the game goes, you know? So getting off of that though, I feel like I've talked a lot about me, and I want to talk about another of the many 3D model artists out there. This time we're going to look at the Lelanian Industrial Complex. Now, Lely, she has a Patreon out there for her designs, which you can find at patreon.com/Lelan. Oh God, I'm getting tongue-tied. Lelanian Industrial Complex. I'll have a link. You're gonna need it. Lely has a few designs out there under her belt and has her own spin on their interpretations. Some of these I freely admit that I like more than others. If there's any drawback to her highly detailed and excellent designs, though, it seems to be the addition of exhaust pipes to every mech and vehicle. One other thing to mention is that she also does a large number of designs which are compatible with the with Warhammer 40K or any other 28mm war game that are done in the style of the Tau Empire for Warhammer, which look incredibly amazing, and I would highly recommend checking out her work for yourself. Personally, if you're going there for Battletech, her crab is awesome. She does an urban mech, which is really good. I'm trying to think. There's a modular marauder, which is lots of parts, but it's worth it. In that modular marauder, there is the Black Marauder. Just putting that out there. So with all that said, let's go ahead and talk about for a minute today's sponsor, and the new official sponsor of the Unicorn Company podcast, and that would be Fortress Games and Miniatures. What do you know? I talked to him after I wrote the episode, and we worked out something, and now they sponsor the podcast. So, like I mentioned earlier, they have the Alpha Strike box set up for pre-order. It releases in 4 days. And they're gonna send them out in order that they're received. If you order anything with the Alpha Strike box set, it will wait until this box set gets in to be shipped out to send everything out at once, just to let you know. But yeah, so I highly recommend going to their website, which can be found at FortressMiniaturesAndGames.com. Also, I did a review of them on the YouTube channel. There has been a release of two exclusive miniatures by them. One of them is the Greyhound, which is the official. Oh, I just forgot their name. I didn't write this down. This is off the top of my head here. The Mech Bay. The Greyhound, which is the official miniature of the Mech Bay podcast. Also, they released the Stronghold dropship, which is a map scale dropship. And they do have the official Battlebound miniature for sale there as well, the Tiger Maw. So go ahead and check those out. And hello to all my podcasting friends there. Let's get back into the episode. So we're going to go ahead and talk about for today's mech tech, the Fire Scorpion. Fire Scorpion was designed to be a totem mech for Clan Goliath Scorpion. The designers of the mech tried as much as possible to emulate the look of a scorpion, even going so far as to mount large shield-like devices on either side of the cockpit, which resemble mouth parts, and they also gave the design a tail-like assembly on the rear of its torso. The Fire Scorpion, from a technical standpoint, is pretty advanced. Well, actually, it's not super advanced. Some off the shelf, some advanced stuff. So I kind of have to take that back, but yeah, I mean, it's a reliable design. If a little bit weird for a quad in the way that they tried to make it look like, a Scorpion. It is hampered in a way by the quadrupedal design, as it lacks the internal space of a biped. So the weapons loadouts are primarily going to be in the torsos, and the legs don't give you a lot of space to work with. The mech is a heavy, coming in at 65 tons. It's built on an endosteel frame and powered by a standard fusion engine. For protection, it is sheathed in 14 tons of standard armor with case and has 10 standard heat sinks, which are more than enough to cool the mech. Additionally, for defense, it has four anti-personnel pods mounted in its legs. For weapons, it has a simple but deadly arrangement of an LB-10X autocannon in its right torso with 3 tons of ammunition, and an Ultra Autocannon 10 in its left torso with 3 tons of ammo, making the mech extremely simple to use. The one big deficit here is, in my opinion, the use of a standard engine, which makes the design appreciably slower than other clan mechs of its size. Which I want to say it's a 4.6. The standard fire Scorpion has a battle value of 1546. The next variant of the fire Scorpion is the fire Scorpion 2. Thankfully, there isn't a fire Scorpion 2 standard, because then it would just get even more confusing. Fire Scorpion 2 remains all re removes, sorry, all the weapons from the original while retaining the anti-personnel pods, and replaces it with a pair of LRM-10s for a long-range reach and an Ultra Autocannon 20 for up-close and personal work, giving it amazing hitting power at short range, especially considering its primary loadout. To make the mech even more terrifying for infantry, it has 4 machine guns and has an active probe so it can detect hidden enemy units in buildings, because its primary stomping grounds are inside of a city. This variant has a battle value of 1749 and is essentially a four-legged hunchback with some missile support. Finally, we have the Fire Scorpion 3. The 3 variant of the mech removes the machine guns and anti-personnel pods of the 2 and replaces them with 4 anti-personnel Gauss rifles and 4 jump jets, giving it superb mobility in built-up areas and making it far more maneuverable than either of the 2 designs. And this truly takes it into being like a hunchback as a heavy mech and a quad. This one has a battle value of 1904. Now, let's take a look at them in Alpha Strike and see how they sort of pan out. Now, first of all, we have the standard Fire Scorpion. This mech is Type Battle Mech, size 3, TMM of 1, movement of 8. It's a sniper and comes in at 36 points. All right. It's not super pricey. It has a damage value of 3 at all ranges. All right. 36 points, that's still not bad. No overheat. Okay. Potential, or it's protected with armor of 7, structure of 5, and has specials of case and flak 111. So it does have use as an anti-air platform when needed, which gives a little bit of a toolbox, but it's not amazingly toolboxy, and it's in at 36 points. It's probably paying about a point for the flak, so it's not bad. But let's take a look at its two cousins, or its two siblings. The Fire Scorpion 2 has all the same baseline stats with the exception of being a missile boat and has a point value of 40. This seems to be due to it being more of a toolbox design. The mech has damage values of 3 at short and medium, with a long of 2 and overheat of 2. So at short and medium, it can punch up to 5 if it needs to, but then it's just kind of creeping along. because otherwise it's the exact same design for all the baseline stuff. It has armor of 7 and structure of 5 with specials of case, indirect fire 1, probe, and recon. So that's why your point value's gone up so much, is because you have all these on top of the case. You have like three things, and that's gonna push the point value up a little bit. Lastly, you have the Fire Scorpion 3. This model, once again, shares most of the base stats, except now it can jump 8, and it's considered a skirmisher. It has a point value of 38, does 3 damage at short and medium with no long range value and an overheat of 2. It once again has armor of 7, structure of 5 with specials of case, probe, and recon. Now, I have some notes here about it, and just speaking off the cuff, and I see where I was going with this. First of all, it may have been worth it to give it an XL engine and let it have a TMM of 2. As much as a lot of the game fluff will be like, yeah, slower mechs are better in urban combat and stuff like that. And you can see this with like the Wyvern. If you ever look at the old Wyvern design from the Star League Defense Force, it was like a slow medium, and it was supposed to trot around a city and do things. Mind you, I think it has an LRM 5 or 10 on it, which on the clans it doesn't matter because there's no minimum. On Inner Sphere stuff, though, you know. But yeah, on Inner Sphere stuff, you have the minimum range. But yeah, there's this myth of the slower. That would be my 3D printer being an asshole. There's the myth of the slower mech that does better in cities just because slower mechs do better in cities, which is not true. You want that TMM mod in the city, whether or not. Now, the 3, I will say, out of the 3 designs, I would take the 3. Simply because mainly I play Alpha Strike now. And in Alpha Strike, regardless of whether you're in an urban environment, the 3, at least in the tournament setting that we're seeing, even the Wolfnet setting, short, medium is what you need. Long range almost doesn't matter. I mean, unless you're doing indirect fire and have something all the way on the back edge of the board, it doesn't matter. Especially on the really truncated Wolfnet table. It's so small. But yeah, so, you know, what you're looking at there is going to be something. You're not paying for a long range value. You have jump, so you can move around when you need to. Additionally, having jump, I think, is more important than even speed in a city, because it lets you do exactly what that mech can do. It can heat up to draw, for what little it is, it can drop its hammer, do 5 damage, and then leap away into cover. Hopefully you won't be able to chase it. But yeah, so that is, you know, that's the Fire Scorpion. And also, that is the episode for today. It's been an interesting past few days. And if you can, hug your people, love your people, and remember, all of my unicorns, you're fucking awesome. Have a great night, great day, great whatever it is where you are. This is Unicorn Actual saying stay safe, and signing off. I'm gonna find my meaning, I can make a change, I wanna play the game, you wanna sink or swim, I'm gonna go.